Sunday the 4th of November, Rabbi Yehuda Silva, the true meaning of the word daven.
Let me first begin by saying that I would like the chus of the Divrei Torah to be the Yilu Nishmas of the Meiri Yaakov David ben Reb Shraga Moshe. When I first, I think one of the very first shiurim that I gave in the Torah way, we spoke about davening, to a certain degree. And I'd like to carry that theme on a little bit further, to perhaps expand on some of the points I made then, and those of you that were here then might remember one or two of the points, but I'd like to expand on them. The parsha this week, and told us, it says, Vayatar Yitzchok, and Yitzchok davened. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Yitzchok davened, Vayetar? So he says, Vayetar means to beseech many, many times, over and over again. Hitzir me'oid. He pushed. And then, says Rashi, that because of that, Hashem responded, and it says, Vayoso lo Hashem. The response came as a result of the Hatzorah, of pushing. This we have to understand. And what is he accomplishing with all this davening? What is it? And b'chal, what does the word daven mean? So, let's go back to last week. Last week was the Maisa, was the Moras HaMachpelah. There was a detail, an enormous amount. The Torah is not here to tell us the Holach Yelech of the others every single day what they did. It was something that was that had with it a message for all the Tal Yisrael, for all the Doiras. Otherwise it wouldn't be in Torah. It's not a history book. And there it describes the Holoch Yelech, the Matan of Abai, it wants to show how what a businessman Avraham Avinu was. That's what it's telling us. What's going on here with the Maras of Machpelah? Why did Avraham Avinu take such pains to buy this particular place? So, we know the Chazal tell us that this had a special significance because Odom and Chava were buried there. And one of the reasons it's called Moras HaMachpelah is because of the couples that were buried there. The couples. Who were the couples? Eventually would be Odom and Chava, Avramin and Sora, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yankiv and Leah. But the couples that were going to be, that's why it's called Machpelah. The Medrash continues and says another day why it's called Moras HaMachpelah. Why is it called the double cave? Because you call Misha Kavur B'Soichoi, anyone who's buried in the Ma'ara is Batuach Sheschoroi Kofol U'Mechupol. He gets a double reward. The people who are there got a double reward. Again, that needs understanding. Chal, what does it mean, Schar, and why? And what's so special about this place that the people who were buried there received double rewards? There's a very beautiful Medrash Tanchuma on last week's Parsha, on yesterday's Parsha. Medrash Tanchuma describes, says that Avraham Avinu came to be Maspid Sora. No, would you like to know the Hesped? Wouldn't it be nice to hear that Hesped? You say it every Friday night. That Hesped we say every Friday night. Says the Medrash, Eishes Chayil Mi Yimtso. Every word, every statement in Eishes Chayil refers to Sora Yimeinu, and that's the Hesped that Avraham Avinu gave on Sora. No, if that's the case, then there's a bit of a problem, because in one of the stanzas of Eish Yisrael, we say, Zomim Masada V'Tikachay. Yeah? Zomim Masada V'Tikachay. And the Medrash explains that this refers to Moras HaMachpelah. No, that's very difficult to understand. Very puzzling. We know, first of all, it wasn't Sora that bought it. Zomim, she planned, yeah, Soda to buy the field, Vatikochel, she acquired it. That's not Sora. Avram did it. And second of all, he bought it after she died. So Bechlau, it's not Nogea to Sora. And how does this all relate to Sora? And third, what's the virtue in her being a good business lady? You think that's what the that's what the Torah wants to tell us? That Sora Yimeinu knew how to handle? She was a good negotiator? So what's going on? So there's a beautiful Zohar that says that the Moras HaMachpelah was the Pesach to Gan Eden. the Pesach, the entryway to Gan Eden. You want to get into Gan Eden? Through Marta Bachter. In fact, it's brought that all the neshamas, after they leave the goof, they go through the Marta Bachter. Through the Marta Bachter. Not that I, you know, a lot of research has been done recently on what they call NDEs, near-death experiences. And people who report about what their experience was when they were clinically dead, they talk about going to a cave, a tunnel, a dark place, and the light at the end of the tunnel. All the neshamas go through the Maris HaMachpelah. So what is this concept of the Maris HaMachpelah being the Pesach to Gan Eden, the entryway to Gan Eden? So what is a Pesach? What is a doorway? A doorway, Lamaisa, has two separate functions. It represents both the inside and the outside, the public and the private. When you have a doorway, and at times the entranceway belongs to the outside. When the door is closed, the entranceway is the outside. When the door is open, so the entranceway belongs to the inside. This is the process of going inside. It plays a role of both the inside and the outside. That's the concept of a Pesach, a doorway. It represents both coming in and going out and closing. So what we have to understand is that this Pesach, this entryway, when we speak about the entryway to Gan Eden, it doesn't mean that it separates between the inside and the outside, but on the contrary, the doorway, the Pesach, is the link between the inside and the outside. And if we understand the Pesach in that way, maybe now we can understand the concept of the Pesach to Gan Eden, the entryway to Gan Eden. Gan Eden represents a link. The Pesach, the Maris HaMachpelah, represented a link between Olam Haba, the world to come, the Olam HaRuchni, and this world. It's a place that was common to both. So how are we to understand this? What does this mean, that the Maris HaMachpelah represented the link between this world and the next? So Zazoy, Mora brings a stira, and says like this, that bracha, the word bracha, the concept of bracha, we say, Hashamayim shamayim la'ashem, ve'oretz nosam livnei odom. Shamayim is the Rabbani Shlomo's domain, the world, the physical, our world is Nosan Livnei Odom. And yet, it says that Lashem Ha'oretz Umaloyai, that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So either he gave it away or he didn't give it away. Or it's Nosan Livnei Odom or Shemayim Shemayim Lashem. Shem, fine. But don't say then Lashem Ha'oretz Umaloyai. Which one is it? So it says the Gemara that Kan Koydim Brocha Kan Lacha Brocha. Before Brocha, Lashem Ha'oretz Umaloyai, everything. After we make a bracha, then Ha'aretz Nosan Livnei Odom. We have a connection, or we have a right to this world, to the physical world, and M'loyoy, and all that's in it, if we make a bracha. So now, we have to understand what is a bracha. What is a bracha? So Lamaisa, the world, and everything that we experience was given to us to utilize, to take pleasure from, and it was in a sense given to us on loan. And the purpose of this pleasure and this purpose of this physical world was to restore it and bring it back to the makor, to the source, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, when I make the bracha, what I'm saying is that everything in this world stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in this world is connected to the makor, to Makor HaChayim, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We declare that Hashem is the source of all the goodness and everything that we enjoy. That's what happens when we make a bracha. Every time you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shahakol Niyah Bidvaray, what you're saying is, Shahakol, everything came about from HaKadosh Baruch. Without a bracha, says the Gemara, you're stealing. You're a thief. It doesn't belong to you. Hashemayim Shomayim Hashem, Hashem Ha'oretzum Loyoy, it belongs to Him. And if you don't make a bracha, if you don't acknowledge that you have a right to it, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosan gave it to us, you're stealing. So after a bracha, we take everything in the physical world and we elevate it. We raise it up, And we turned the physical act into a ruchniistic act. So when I eat, and I enjoy it, and it fills me, and I feel good afterwards, and I'm not grumpy anymore, that's because that has to be acknowledged by making a bracha. I'm turning that act into a ruchniistic act. It's interesting, there's a very interesting oisayis to Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnayis. It's also famous. The oisayis to Rabbi Akiva says that Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he was about to create the world, he was interested in knowing, or he wanted to determine, what letter he should begin to create the world with. How do you, we know, I mean, Dvar Hashem Shomayim Nasu, with the words, Hashem Vayoymer Elokim, he spoke. What was he going to start the world? How was he going to create the world? Says the Mishnah that he went through all the Oseus from Tov, Shin, Reish, Kuf. He went all day, discarded all of them. Till he came to the letter Beis. Comes to the letter Beis, he says, oh, I'm going to create the world with the letter Beis, Bereishis, Bor, Lekim, Es, Shamayim, Vesor. Why? Say Chazal. Because the word Bracha begins with the letter Beis. As I say. So we have an Ezra, a Bumbakasha. There are a lot of nasty words that begin with the letter Beis too. A lot of not nice words that begin with the letter, very not nice. A boor. I mean, I could come up with lots of words that are not nice. So what is this, that what does he mean that it came from Bracha? So the Maral doesn't like the Kasha at all. And the Maral says that the Ezra, I think, didn't quite perceive what the kasha was or what the Mishnah was saying. I'm being very polite, but the Maral wasn't so polite. The Maral couldn't understand what was bothering him. He says he didn't understand it. It's not what it's saying here. What it's saying here, that the purpose of creating the world was bracha. The whole purpose of creating the world was beis. And what's beis? And what's bracha? Bracha is multiplicity, to increase. To ask. You go to a Rebbe and you ask for a bracha, what do you think you're asking for? A gesunt auf dein Kepala? Yeah, we want gesunt. But it has to add to your gesunt. It has to add to what you are. Whatever you are, you should have an addition. Multiplicity. The minimum of multiplicity is two. Two. To begin, one is one. If you want to add to one, you need two. Two is the minimum of multiplicity. The word bracha, borech, carries with it multiplicity in all the dimensions. There's the beis, which is 2, the reish, which is 200, and the chof, which is 20. But reish is multiplicity. You're adding to the world. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted in creating the world. He said, oh, I'm going to create the world with the letter beis. Because beis represents multiplicity, it represents bracha, and that's your job. In this world, your job is to increase, to take the physical world and to add to it by giving it ruchni, by making a bracha. And that's what we accomplish. So the purpose of bracha is why Hashem chose to create the world. So the place that we sense this elevation of the physical more than any place else, or should I say the potential to sense it more than anywhere else, is in Eretz Yisrael. It's the place, and those, you know, you've been to Eretz Yisrael, and when things are as they ought to be, the heightened sense of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, that sense of awareness of Ruchni, you know, it's even more than that. The whole idea here is awareness. It has to be aware that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vinitvi, either you're aware of how Ruchni it is, or you're aware of how lacking in Ruchni it is. But you're aware of Ruchni. You say, oh, this can't be. This can't be. The presence of Hashem permeates Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Asher says the pasuk Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mereish Yisrael Arach Yisrael. Hashem is always concerned what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. The particular place in Eretz Yisrael where this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence joins the physical world, or better, not where it joins the physical world, but rather where we are able to take the physical and join it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that place is called Chevron. And the word Chevron means Chibur. It comes from the word Chibur. Chevron is Chibur. Chodeh, Chibur, connection. This is the place where we connect. It's where heaven and earth meet through our efforts. The role of the avos who sleep in heaven. Yesheinei Chezron. These are our avos. They sleep in the Maras HaMachpelah. It's because they achieved with their lives, their whole earthly activity was to make every single physical act a ruchnistic act, a spiritual act. And that's when we say, "Lo'ilam yomar odam masay aziu ma'asai la'ma'asei avoisai." Avoisai, it doesn't mean that you're all going to become little Avram Avinus. We're not. We all know it. But masay yagiu ma'asai la'ma'asei avoisai. Shama'asei avoisai was to elevate the physical to the ruchni. Where will I come to the recognition that that's what I have to do? That's what I have to do in my way. Avram Avinu, I'm not going to be, but in my way. On my level, a thought, once in a while, just the thought that when I drink the coffee, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. A thought. Or when I look at the sunset. Whatever. In the physical world. It's a book on everything. Everything is a book. There isn't a thing, an air, human activity over which there is no book. This is why they were burying the Maris HaMachpelah. The Maris HaMachpelah is the chibur of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, the spiritual world and the physical world. That's why it's called Chevron. That's why these Yesheinei Chevron, the Avos, were buried in Chevron. And that's why it's called Maris HaMachpelah, because they were couples. Don't think for a moment that any one of them could have done it alone. Don't think for a moment that Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu and Yaakov Avinu could have achieved what they achieved without Sarah Imenu and Rivka Imenu and Leah and Rachel. The Imahis were a chelek. You know, I'm sure you're tired of hearing this because you've all heard it 10,000 times at every Sheva box that you go to. Yeah, Ish v'Isha Shechina b'Neiyah. Right, and not, you take out the Yud, take out the Eir, you got Eish. Fire. Fire, right. Good. What does that mean? It's all very nice. Sounds nice. It doesn't mean. And why Yud? And why Hey? And why that name? And what's going on? The Yud always represents Olam Haba. The Yud is always the future. The Yud is the Machshava. In the Machshava, it's not here yet. It's going to be. Your Machshava will turn into Yelech, Yishmer. It's always in the future. The Yud always services the future. The Yud represents Olam Haba, that part which is yet in potential, that isn't here yet, that you have to turn it into actual. Od Yashir Moshe. Chazal say, Od Yashir Moshe. Then Moshe will sing. He should have said, Oh, sure, Moshe, Teretz. He will sing. Olam Haba is going to sing. Tchias HaMeisim. He can't be Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. So you see, the Yud always represents the Olam Haba. The Hay. The Hay is this world. Plus it says, Eila Tolvay Sashramayim Va'oret Behi Borom. The letter He was written small. Behi Borom, Sechazal, Behe Borom. Created this world, the physical world, with the letter He. Again, we all know that the letter He is used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And the reason it's used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is because Hashem is the ultimate giver. You can only give. You can't receive. There's nothing you can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not even your davening. Don't think that one mistake ever that you're doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu a favor when you get up in the morning and you're very, very tired and you don't want to go to Minyan, that you're doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu a tayvus. You're not doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu any tayvus because you can't. He lacks nothing. If he lacks nothing, you can't give him anything. The only thing you're doing is a tayvus for yourself. You can choose to do it or not. That's your. But the only one you're doing the tithe to is to yourself. Hashem is the ultimate giver. The word hey, the letter hey means to give. The letter hey means to give. You see it by Yosef with the mitzvah, and it says hey lochem zera uzatem es adam agivti. Hey means to give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate giver. That's why we use the letter hey. The hey borom, he gave. It has a deeper meaning also. It says, "Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu." Hashem created the world with speech. What's the beginning of all speech? the beginning of all speech is a breath. You can't speak unless you breathe. There must be a breath. The sound that a breath makes is the letter hey. Behi baram, behei baram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with speech. So, this physical world is the hey. The physical world. The ruchni is the yud. Ish v'isha shechina b'neihem, because together what they forge is the union of the ruchni and the gashmi to the point where it reaches a chibur l'mala to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's the yud kei. That they're elevating everything, all that they do as a unit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we get back to Eish HaTzchayim. Zomim asod v'tikachay. She planned it out. How'd she plan it out? Was it negotiation skills? No. She planned it out by the way she lived. She lived as a person who connects both worlds. The Olam HaRuchni and the Olam HaGashmi were one with her. And perhaps that's also another way of understanding. You know, they all ask, why does it repeat? It says, Chayei Sora, Mea Shana, Vesim Shana, Shnei Chayei Sora. It repeats the word Shnei Chayei Sora, the years of the life of Sora. Maybe the Shnei refers to two. Shnei Chayei Sora. Sora lived two lives. She lived the life of Ruchni and Gashmi, unified as one. But she was the one that was Mechaber both sides, the Ruchni and the Gashmi. And why the woman? Why are we praising the woman? It wasn't the issue that she bought the field and negotiated the field. Zomim Asod, I mean, she planned it out with the way she lived her life. That's how she got this field, which is the Moras HaMachpelah, which is the entrance way to Gan Eden, which is the Chibur Shamayim. And why the woman? Why the woman? Because this element of being Mechaber, the Ruchni to, and the Gashmi together, and to return it back to the source, for the woman it's much more, it would appear to be more difficult. She does mundane activities, housework, cleaning, taking care, cooking, that. She's always busy in caring for things that appear on the surface as mundane. They can be seen as mere menial activity without spiritual, what's spirituality in peeling potatoes? Where do you get the spirituality there? How do you get it? Sora infused every act, every menial act with Ruchnis. Recognizing that I have the potato because of my Kodesh Baruch Hu that I'm connected to. She led a double life. A double life. And fused them into one. That's our mission on a national level. We call Yisrael, that's our job. Klal Yisrael has to trace everything back to the divine source. Everything back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I like this in the Gemara. What's the source of our davening? What's the makor of the tefillah? The one man the Omer says tefillahs keneged tamidim tiknu for the korban tomi, and the other man the Omer is tefillahs avos tiknu. The avos, our avos, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov were misakim tefillah. Avram misakim shachris, Yitzchak mincha, and Yaakov arvis. The Rambam seems to hold like both of them, because in one place in Hilchos Tefillah he speaks about that keneged tamidim, and in Hilchos Melachim Perek Tes. The Rambam there says that Avram was Mesach and Shachris and Yitzchak Mincha and Yaakov Arvi. So you see that he holds by both of them. We should also know that we make a big mistake. We make a big mistake. We think we daven three times a day the same tefillah. Right? Shemoneh Esrei in the morning, Shemoneh Esrei in the evening, Mincha time, and Shemoneh Esrei at night. It's not true. We don't daven three tefillahs. We don't daven one tefillah three times. We daven three separate tefillahs. We daven the tefillah of Shacharis, we daven the tefillah of Mincha, and we daven the tefillah of Arvis. I'm not going to go into each one, but it's important to know that. When you're davening Shacharis, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're acknowledging that this new day came, the beginning came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants your davening. He wants the tefillah of tzaddikim. That's why we have had avos, two avos who couldn't give, who were sterile, who couldn't give birth, Avraham and Yitzchak. and the mother Sarah Shaila Beis Havlad, and Rivka who was Akora, by all intents and purposes, under the natural world, we should not be. No way in the world should there be a Klal Yisrael. There never should have been a Yitzhak, there never should have been a Yaakov, and certainly an Yitzhak. So how are we here? We're here in this Chus HaTzvila. Because it says that the reason that he made them Akoras is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted their Tzvila. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu misabed the Tzvila Som Shel Tzadikim. And what does it show? It shows that with Tzvila, you can go beyond the natural world. You can be an Okar and Akara, and you can still have a child that doesn't follow the natural laws. Tzvila does not follow natural laws. Vayetar, Yitzchak pushed and he pushed and he pushed to do what? What's the pushing? The pushing was to extract himself from the natural physical world and to go beyond it into the Ruchnis Dikudat, into a world that's a different place altogether. Our existence is through Tfilah. This that they said, Avos Tfilah, it's Avos Tiknum, that the Avos were Mesakin Tfilah. It's not just that they gave us the Shachris, they gave us the Mincha, they gave us the Arvis, they gave us us through Tfilah. They gave us our lives, they gave us our existence. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillahs, tzaddikim. No, he wants each and every tefillah of each and every individual of us. You know why? Because the amech kulam tzaddikim. We're all tzaddikim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. There's a tzidkus in Klal Yisrael. And therefore you have to be a davener. You got it from your avos. This is what the avos gave us. You are because of tefillah. When we daven Shacharis, we are elevating ourselves beyond the natural world. Yeah, the sun starts every day in the east, and I have to say to myself, it's not that sun that controls my world. It goes beyond that. And when I daven Mincha in the evening, it's a separate tefillah. I'm coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a totally different acknowledgement that everything I did during that day, at the end of the day, who does it belong to? Who gave me the koyach? Who made it happen? Me? Never. I acknowledge, I bring it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reconnecting myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's through tefillah. But honest, sincere acknowledgement of the makor of everything, all those who have a problem of a mechitza between, or a sense of a mechitza, a sense of a barrier between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tefillah can heal it. Tefillah heals it. This is the Tefillah that the Avos have given us. Tefillah is Avos Tiknum. The Avos gave us the Tefillah. That's the way we as Klal Yisrael, are able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thanks to the Avos. Thanks to the Avos we are, and thanks to the Avos we relate. And now we come to the true meaning of the word Tadavan. What language is Davan? Davan is Aramaic. And it comes from the word De'avuhon, from my fathers. All of Tefillah. The whole time when I'm Davanin is De'avuhon. Everything I acknowledge that I relate, in other words, I am because of the Tefillah. And the mechanism through which I relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Tefillah, and that came Davon, and that's what I'm doing when I'm davening. The davening is always Tiknum. Always. Know that whatever we have in Chumash regarding to the others are Sharoshim. They're so vital. They're the roots. They're establishing why we as Klal Yisrael have to function. That's the way we have to function. Avraham Avinu, when he davened Shacharis, he was the new beginning, it was the new dawn of day. It meant that he was the tefillah of Shacharis. He acknowledged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak was prepared to give over his entire life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything he was prepared to give over at the Akedah. And that's what we do at Mincha. We give over everything that we have accomplished in that day back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So with this legacy that we have, De'avuhon, perhaps our tefillahs and our davening will be a little bit more sensitive you know, I don't know what it is. Rabbeinu, I'm just taking a half a minute more. Rabbeinu, I don't know what it is. By unsere Menschen, heilige Tzadikim lach, v'amech kulam Tzadikim. I think it has to do with the Cheder. I think it's the Cheder's fault, because when we were learning how to read in Cheder, they taught us the faster you read, the better. So Mamela, that sticks. Words. Hear the words. Davenin. Do you realize what Davenin is? It's your chibur to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's your chibur to the Olam Aruchni. It's your chibur to be able to be not a ganus and everything in this world. So when we, you know, Bruchtonoi, we lose it all. We made the bracha. But what do we say? Savor the bracha. Savor the words. Let the words be like a morsel of delicious food. Savor it. And you'll see your connection to Ruchni will be such that the mechitzas that we feel from time to time will dissipate. They'll fall away. And we will end up doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended for us to do in creating the world with the letter Bereshit.